Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right. College football. Getting more and more interesting. New poll is out tonight. Can't imagine it's not going to be some combination of LSU, Ohio State 1-2, pick your direction, with Clemson 3. The interesting part of it, I think, will be who's number 4. Will it be Alabama? Are they deemed the best of the one-loss teams right now? Or dare we even think about a Baylor or a Minnesota sitting there unbeaten? Minnesota, in particular, who handled then-fourth-ranked Penn State over the weekend.
That'd be quite
Seems unlikely to me, but we'll see.
Be quite a jump, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be too much of a jump, probably.
That was impressive. It was.
Yes, it,
it was cool. I dig Minnesota. I'm a Minnesota guy suddenly. But the Baylor-Oklahoma game this weekend will sort that out probably pretty well, assuming Baylor beats them. Because that'll eliminate OU, but probably wouldn't have Baylor even in the clear yet, because if they beat OU and then OU beats them in the championship game, sayonara Big 12. That's not good for the Big 12 if that happens.
No.
Because I don't think even just a one-loss Baylor team in the championship of the Big 12 can lose to Oklahoma and still get in the CFP with their non-conference schedule. How much trouble is Alabama in? That would be my question. And do they fall out, and can they survive that loss and come back and, you know, survive, basically, and make it to the CFP?
Well, so much depends on those around them, doesn't it?
100%, because their schedule's not all that great either.
No, I mean, they play Auburn. I mean, Alabama has Auburn left. That's it. Their one meaningful win from a standpoint of national perception is a win over then 24th-ranked Texas A&M. Now, we saw with our own eyes what they look like in a game against LSU where they were down big and then came back late. But I don't know how much can a win or a loss be worth. I'll ask you right now, who's the one? There are 6 one-loss teams right now. Give me the one that you think is the best. Probably Alabama. Or right?
Alabama,
I asked the question, I think, knowing the answer. I mean, Georgia lost. If you just want to be pragmatic, you're talking about Alabama losing to LSU in a fantastic football game.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit at home. Georgia, their one loss is to South Carolina.
Which is inexcusable when you're talking about
CFP
neighborhood. That can't happen.
Right.
So just on its face right there, the difference between Alabama and Georgia, if that's it, sorry, Georgia. And I think the committee is proving, at least so far, that they're using the eye test. More so
than
numbers or analytics or anything like that. And I take that back. They're using the eye test and they're laying down their schedule side by side, saying, all right, what have you done and who have you done it against? All that being said, Clemson hadn't played anybody, but at least they haven't lost. Now,
no, right.
Minnesota's schedule, you know, they're unbeaten, too. But that Penn State game's the crown jewel in it, and it just happened. But they still have Iowa and Wisconsin left, who are highly regarded. Not you know, CFP level teams, but highly regarded. Iowa's 23 and 22, depending on the poll. So they're good teams. Wisconsin's even better than that. And then there's, of course, Baylor, which they just they can't afford to lose, man. They just can't.
Well,
which is a little unfair, but they're not as good as LSU. They're not as good as Ohio State. And I don't even think they're as good as Clemson.
No. But they essentially would have to prove it by beating Oklahoma twice, and even then wouldn't be a foregone conclusion.
They cannot possibly go undefeated in the Big 12 and beat OU in the championship game and still not get in, can they?
No, I think that they could beat Oklahoma twice and not get in.
That's unfair.
And here's why. You just talked about it. Eye test. I mean, with all due respect
to
Baylor.
Okay, hold on a second then. Let's say they don't just sweep OU under the rug. Beating the highest scoring team in the country twice.
Yeah, but they're ranked, what, 10 in the CFP?
Well, so?
They made.
You talked about eye test. Mm-hmm. If you can do enough to shut down the best offense in the world twice, then eye test shifts in Baylor's favor, to me.
The value of beating Oklahoma a second time would be diminished greatly by having beaten them first.
Well, it sucks to be
Oklahoma's
right
not
going to
still be. Oklahoma's still not going to be 10 if Baylor beats them on Saturday. Oklahoma will fall. Not precipitously, but they'll fall. So we can't value beating Oklahoma twice in their current state. Baylor will only beat them once in their current state if they beat them at all.
I see where you're going, but I disagree.
Fair enough.
I think if Baylor beats OU twice and doesn't slip to anybody else, they only got another couple games beyond that, then I think they deserve to be in the CFP.
Really? Well, then what do you do with Minnesota if they beat Ohio State?
Well, we got a lot of games to play.
Well, we do. And we do
on
for Baylor,
hand,
too. Who
gonna,
has,
on
and
one
Baylor
hand,
is snuck
Baylor,
by
I'm
here. It's
Baylor
not like Baylor is
in the CFP, and I'm going to wait and see on Minnesota. So I'm going to have it both ways.
Well, that works out.
Yeah.
That's the way life should be.
No, I suppose I hope it happens. I suppose I hope Baylor goes undefeated. I hope Minnesota goes undefeated. Clemson could. Ohio State can't if Minnesota does.
Minnesota is the one. If the logic that you're applying to Baylor, an unbeaten team in a Power 5, and you're using it, obviously, as it applies to beating Oklahoma twice, which, by the way, would be their second and third losses unless they lose anything else, and they
damn near lost last
week. But Minnesota would trump Baylor.
Well, yeah, because of who they have left.
Iowa's good, Wisconsin's good,
and then
exactly.
whoever.
And then Ohio State.
Ohio State in the title game, yeah.
So but you can't tell me that if Baylor runs their course and Minnesota does the same thing, Minnesota goes over Baylor.
I agree. I'm not saying it's right, but I agree that you would be right.
And Ohio State goes over Baylor.
Perhaps. If they go undefeated and only lose to Minnesota?
I think that would be...
Right? Isn't that what you're saying? That they're going to...
Yes. Yes.
A one-loss Ohio State team over a undefeated Baylor team. See, that flies in the face of what the CFP was created for and what...
Well...
And what?
Then it becomes a question of how much you believe your eyes. Because I don't know, Shane. Look, here's what I'm saying.
And let's not forget that Ohio State still has Penn State and Michigan left. Two good teams, so they can further boost themselves. Go ahead.
Which puts them in a much better position than it does Baylor.
I agree.
To make the argument for a one-loss team against an unbeaten Baylor.
I know. I agree.
All right, you're a college football fan, and you watch as much college football as anyone right now. Who's better, Ohio State or Baylor?
I already said it. There's a bunch of teams better than Baylor.
Right, and by a pretty far stretch, right?
In Baylor's
defense? If Ohio State were to play Baylor today on a neutral field, how much would Ohio State be favored
by? Touchdown, at least.
Or more.
Maybe.
Or more. right?
So here's what I'll say in Baylor's defense. They can't help how the league is this year.
Of course.
They could help playing Stephen F. Austin, Texas, San Antonio, and Rice.
That didn't help.
But when you get into the conference schedule, you just can't help it. That's not your fault. So I think by definition, or one of them anyway, the CFP, and when you have leagues that have a conference title game, if you take care of your business the whole way through and you're in a Power Five, you shouldn't have to apologize to anybody, right? In theory, right? You did
what
you
were
supposed
to do. Well, I don't think you have to apologize to anyone, but there's only four rooms at the end.
I understand. And
so that's the problem.
We are both getting way ahead of ourselves here on November 12th with all the undefeated teams. These will sort themselves out like they do every year. But I think just in case Baylor shocks the world, there could still be some chaos a month from now. Most normally, there isn't, because somebody will lose, and it'll mm-hmm. be somebody that you would never guess. Like, LSU, Ohio State, probably Minnesota. One of them's, or more, are going to trip up and lose.
Sure.
We don't think they are. We can't see it.
Seems to happen every single year.
Yep,
we've got too many unbeaten football teams right now, at least from a historical perspective. I'm fine with it. I don't care. But from a standpoint of, we've still got too many unbeatens. Now, the thing that makes it interesting this year is you've got two that are further down the rung, and they're both Power Five schools.
Yep.
That's what makes it more interesting this year. So
now we just have to hope and root for number 7 and number 12, or whatever they are, to keep winning and make everybody squirm and give us something to talk about.
I mean, what about an unbeaten Minnesota against an unbeaten Clemson, for instance?
Okay, then there's your perfect eye test.
I mean, that'd be
versus I can't even think of that. The eye test would be Clemson. They're prettier. Versus
right?
A Minnesota team that knocked off more big guys along the way and, quote-unquote, deserves it more. Because there's
so
not
what's the value? What's the value of a Minnesota season unbeaten sitting next to, on a blind taste test, Clemson? Without us knowing that it's Dabo Sweeney,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lawrence, the whole crew, we're just looking at two football teams. Here's the schedule. Here's who they played. Here's who they've beaten. Here's where they've beaten them. Doesn't matter that Clemson's the defending national champion and been there three straight years or whatever the hell it is.
You know, I kind of have a problem with Clemson now being in the top four just because somebody else lost. You know what I mean? That's if those experts out there, if there were some that thought Clemson was fifth, for example, and Penn State was fourth before that loss, now you think Clemson is deserving because of attrition? If you didn't believe them before, don't put them there now. Hell, put Georgia up there.
That's because people can't make the – it'll be interesting to see how much of a jump Minnesota makes, because once you get into the CFP – those kinds of jumps from 17 to, I mean, because they're 17 last week in the CFP. 17. They beat number 4. So where do they end up? Are they 8? Are they 9 this week? That would be a huge jump in CFP terms.
That would probably
terms.
Be the biggest CFP jump. Or at least,
yes.
If not the biggest, one of them.
Mm-hmm. But what is it that makes Clemson 5?
I don't know.
And Minnesota 17. Or Clemson this week 3 and Minnesota 9 or whatever it is. Really?
I guess my point is, if you didn't think Clemson was worthy last week, just because Penn State lost last week, you shouldn't elevate Clemson.
Right.
Because Georgia won, too. Wow. Anyway, we'll find out tonight.
I mean, if you're gave, yeah, we find out tonight, and who knows what the – I always like to know what the committee is looking at. And you made the statement earlier that they seem to be doing more with the eye test. Okay, well, what does the eye test tell you about Minnesota vis-a-vis Clemson, for instance, after last week? That was a pretty good Penn State team that they handled.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
We'll find out.
All right. Weather Twitter question. It's Shane in pursuit of his meteorological seal. Coming up in a minute. Stay with us.
Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis. Find us on the web.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.